You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Happy Timberwolves game day. Today, the Timberwolves take on the Spurs for the third time this year. They split that weekend back-to-back, both games at Target Center just a couple of weeks ago. And we'll quickly touch on those games, what to expect in this game, and the injury report here in just a little bit. I want to start today by talking a little bit about Jalen Nowell and Jaden McDaniels. I guess the Wolves' young players as a group, but especially those two, for Noel's part, what he brings to the table, what he's been able to do, and the value the Wolves got in drafting him in the second round just last year. And then also for McDaniels, we're obviously, I mean, super early in his career and everybody else's career from this year's draft, but the players drafted around him, what the McDaniel selection says about Rosas and the Wolves front office and where they're looking to the future. Also what McDaniels has brought to the table so far this year. I think everybody's really tantalized by his potential, but what are things he's doing well? What are things he is not doing well so far in his, 14 games or whatever he's played to this point. First, though, a quick reminder that you can get this podcast anywhere that you like to get podcasts. That includes Apple. That includes Spotify, of course. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. All right, so let's start with the McDaniels and Noel conversation. First with McDaniels, because he's kind of the hot topic right now. Everybody wants to talk about Jaden McDaniels and the tantalizing potential and skill that he's shown in only 14 games and really only like five or six when he's been a regular part of the rotation. He saw a lot of garbage time minutes early in the season. And then I guess I'm underselling it. It's been eight games now where he's really been a member of the rotation, starting with the road loss in Atlanta on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Those are mostly garbage minutes. But then from that point forward, he's been a pretty regular contributor for the Timberwolves. The per game stats and all that stuff isn't going to look great. The shooting percentages actually aren't fantastic either, but I think it's the defensive instincts and what he's brought on that end of the floor that has impressed people the most. He obviously has incredible length, incredible athleticism. Everybody knew that about Jaden McDaniels when he was a high school prospect. Remember, he was considered by some to be one of the best high school recruits in the country. He was a five-star recruit and ended up going to Washington. He's 6'10 with a 6'11 wingspan, super athletic, and of course his build is very, very thin. There are a lot of similarities in terms of his body type to Kevin Durant coming out of Texas, and that's one of the reasons why teams were a little scared off. And then also there was his decline in play in the Pac-12 season with the Washington Huskies last year. He started really well in non-conference and was basically considered a high lottery pick coming into the season throughout the part of the non-conference portion of the schedule. But once they got into Pac-12 play, McDaniel struggled quite a bit. He struggled with the physicality at times, not that the Pac-12 is ultra physical compared to, say, the Big Ten, but at times the physicality of the college game. Also, he had a lot of technicals. There were some of those things that concerned teams, and nobody really knew what to expect of him defensively because he primarily played in his zone at Washington. And so people didn't know if, given his size, given his youth, frankly, I mean, he was a young freshman last year. Would he be able to step in and defend at the NBA level? And I don't think the Wolves thought he'd be a member of the rotation 11 games, 12 games into the season. But alas, he is, and he's impressed defensively. He's actually been a really, really good one-on-one defender. Go back and watch both Cleveland games. And at various times, he was guarding either Colin Sexton or Darius Garland and basically shut them down. I think three of his four blocks against the Cavs came against those two players. I think the other one came against Isaac Okoro on a drive where he just hit. His positioning is fantastic. His length allows him to block shots with, and he's able to do it with both hands. He hasn't rebounded the ball extremely well, but in a couple of his games where he's had, five plus rebounds, I think he's done that four times this year. He isn't really boxing guys out or being super physical. He had a couple nice rebounds going back and watching those games. He out-rebounded Dwight Howard on a free throw situation where he basically, I don't want to say he out-muscled Dwight Howard, but he beat him to the ball and kind of fended him off. But he's using his length to reach over and around guys to snatch rebounds, and that's what he's been able to do on the glass so far. There's a lot that needs to be learned there, but still the most impressive thing to this point has been his defense. And on top of that, well, his overall shooting efficiency hasn't been great. He's got a true shooting percentage of 45%, and his effective field goal percentage is 45.3%, 37% from the floor. He shot 34.3% on 3-point attempts. He's 12 of 35 so far. He's been really good in the corners. He's 42.9% in the corners, and 40% of his 3-point attempts have come from the corners as well. And that's an important thing for a four in the Timberwolves offense. I mean, think about how many corner threes Juancho's missed so far this year. Josh Okogie's missed so far this year. If Jaden McDaniels can fill that role and fill the corners on the fast break within the half court offense and knock those shots down, especially when Karl Anthony Towns is back creating space for everybody, creating passing lanes for everybody by drawing the defense to him, McDaniels, if he can continue to shoot over 40% from the corners, is going to be massive for the Wolves offense. And he's not going to be asked to do anything besides that and be a cutter and score in the open floor. I mean, basically you're asking him to do what you're trying to get Josh Okogie to do. Obviously McDaniels is much taller and longer and has, you know, probably equal athleticism to Josh Okogie, is a much, much, much better offensive player. The question is, can he guard the same types of players as Okogie? And we saw that at the end of the Cavs game on Monday when the Wolves ran their starters out there, but had McDaniels in the game instead of Okogie to try and give them a little bit more of an offensive punch. It didn't really work out, but the idea makes a ton of sense. And I would be willing to bet we'll see that if the Spurs game is close on Wednesday. But I guess the second piece about McDaniels that I wanted to talk about is a bigger conversation, but I wanted to hit on it now because I think it's something to monitor over the course of the rest of the season. And that's the selection of Jaden McDaniels in the first place. We knew that it was a home run swing, and it was largely because the Wolves felt like they had a roster that was close to being a playoff team anyway, that nobody was expecting Towns to be, you know, playing four of the team's first 20, 21 games. But the Wolves taking McDaniels and trading the other first round pick that they had, and then taking Leandro Bolmaro as a draft and stash, you know, playing overseas, taking McDaniels at 28 was an interesting decision. There were several guys on the board that I had higher than McDaniels on my big board. That includes Desmond Bane out of TCU. That includes Tyler Bay from Colorado, Tyrell Terry out of Stanford, who went to the Mavericks. And on the one hand, if McDaniels continues to improve and plays defensively as he has over the past few games and keeps improving his efficiency on offense and he becomes this team's power forward, then obviously this is a genius pick. And there's no doubt about it, because the Wolves need a power forward. If McDaniels is the guy, then this was the right pick. But go back, maybe even call it a week ago, the Wolves, you know, with Culver's injury, Okogie still struggling, just a lack of depth on the wing before Jalen Noel really kind of stepped off the bench a little bit. And Desmond Bane is out here having a fantastic season for the Memphis Grizzlies. He was taken 30th by Boston and traded to Memphis. Desmond Bane's shooting over 50% from three. Obviously that's not sustainable, but he was an incredible shooter at TCU. And the only real negative thing about his profile was he has a negative wingspan, and he didn't profile as, you know, a plus defender because of that. But he's held his own defensively. He shot the lights out. And I think this is just kind of a microcosm of the philosophy that Rosas takes to the draft, is he wants to take these home run swings. Balmero's a home run swing. He's not likely to come over and be, I mean, he could come over and be a rotation guy, but if he comes over, he's probably going to come over and be a star, or he very well could develop into a star based on his profile. And I mean, if you take a draft and stash, you're not expecting him to be a role player. You're expecting him to turn into a star. I mean, Ricky Rubio wasn't expected to be a role player, you know, borderline starter in this league. He was expected to be a star. Jaden McDaniels has the talent of a lottery pick, a high lottery pick, but slid all the way to the very end of the first round for a variety of reasons that I already kind of detailed. Desmond Bane's not going to be a star, but he is already a rotation caliber player on a borderline playoff team, and he would be a starter worthy of a starting spot with the Timberwolves. He probably wouldn't start because of the similarities to Beasley in terms of size and defensive limitations. But Bane would be the first guy off the bench for this Timberwolves team. He defends hard, he plays hard, he makes threes. He doesn't need to be a high usage player. That's exactly the kind of player that the Wolves seem to be perpetually seeking, is a rotation caliber wing who can make threes compete on defense, hold his own in basically every facet of the game and be well-rounded. The Wolves don't have very many well-rounded players. I mean, you take Karl-Anthony Towns out of the mix and Malik Beasley's the closest thing to a two-way player, and he's been a terrible defender over the course of his career until, you know, he's improved a little this year. Jake Lehman is a little below average on both ends, but in theory, he's a solid defender and a decent offensive player, but he's not a starter on a playoff team. So McDaniels is the perfect example of a home run swing by Gerson Rosas that may connect. You know, we don't know that yet. It's still very early. A lot of the peripheral numbers for McDaniels aren't fantastic, but it's still so early in such a small sample size to really be worried about that. It's more what he's been able to contribute and the, you know, defensively, his instincts, some of those things that people weren't sure about have looked really good. But if McDaniels doesn't hit, then the idea of not taking, you know, a guy like Bane, who is almost a sure thing to be a solid rotation player, even if he doesn't have upside, to fill out a roster where you think you've already got your big two in Karl-Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell, then that will be looked back on as a mistake. Next, I want to talk a little bit about Jalen Noel, which Jalen McDaniels is Jaden McDaniels' brother, of course, and also in the league, was a second-round draft pick last year, actually the same year as Jalen Noel, who I do want to talk about next, and what he's been able to bring to the table. I spent some time on him about a week ago, right as he was starting to break into the rotation, but I want to kind of look at the early returns for his first week or so as really the key bench scorer for this team since Anthony Edwards has moved into the starting lineup. So that'll be the next thing that we cover here today. Before we do that, though, let's talk about our friends at CBDMD. We're now a full month into 2020, and it's time to catch up on some much-needed sleep, especially if you lost out on some sleep over the holidays, getting back into the swing of things in January. And even though getting a good night's sleep is much easier said than done, our good friends at CBDMD have exactly what you need to sleep harder than NBA media is sleeping on Jaden McDaniels. The copy says DeAndre Hunter, but this is a Timberwolves podcast, so we're going to go with Jaden McDaniels. CBD PM blends 500 milligrams of high-quality CBD with melatonin, valerian root, chamomile, and other sleep-promoting ingredients to create a powerful and effective sleep aid. And if you want to relax a little before bed, their new CBD bath salts fuses superior CBD with Epsom, Dead Sea, and Himalayan salts to turn any bath into a luxury experience and are available in lavender or eucalyptus scents, as well as a soothing nighttime blend with melatonin and calming herbs. To make it even easier to get the year started off right, they're offering all our listeners 25% off your next order when you use the promo code NBA at checkout. Once again, that's cbdmd.com. Promo code NBA for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD products from CBDMD. Here at Locked On Wolves, we're covering everything you need to know about the Timberwolves, but what about the rest of sports? Now, the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. All right, let's talk about Jalen Noel. So the Timberwolves took Jalen Noel in the second round of last year's draft. And this is an often forgotten fact, I guess, but he was a Pac-12 player of the year as a sophomore in 2018-19 and was a really, really good college player. The fact that he was still on the board in the middle of the second round was a little bit surprising. His sophomore year, so his second year at Washington, he averaged 16.2 points a game, shot 44% from three. He actually averaged 16 points a game as a freshman too, but he improved his efficiency, increased his field goal percentage from 45% to 50 from his freshman to sophomore year, his three-point percentage from 35% to 44% freshman to sophomore year, and also had about a rebound and a half and half assist more per game. The Wolves took him in the middle of the second round, 43rd overall, and if you might recall that, you know, usually the second round picks, they'll get a couple years deal, partially guaranteed. Noel was holding out for something a little bit more. The Wolves actually got him signed to a 4-year deal that was partially guaranteed, very team friendly. He's making only $1.5 million this year, just under $1.8 million the following year. And then the Timberwolves have a full team option on the 22-23 season at only $1.9 million. And given how Noel has played over the past week or so, again, I realize we're talking about a week, but what we know he can do based on his college skill set and what he did in the G League last season, paying less than $2 million per year for not only this year, but each of the next 2 years could turn out to be a huge bargain. And Noel, along with undrafted guys like Naz Reid and Jordan McLaughlin, are easily the thing that that Gerson Rosas has done the best in his tenure is uncover these gems. But anyways, related to what Noel's done so far this year, he's only appeared in six games. Remember, he had a calf injury coming out of the preseason. He had two incredible preseason games. There was the one where he scored 20 points in like 12 minutes, basically, against Memphis, I believe. And then had a little bit of a calf issue that he sat out for a while, that he saw some garbage time minutes, finally became a part of the rotation here just a little over a week ago. I'd written an article at Dunkin' with Wolves last week and then also talked about it on the podcast that he needed to become a member of Ryan Saunders' rotation. Since then, he has been. He scored in double figures each of the last four games. This began with the second game in Golden State last Wednesday. So four games over the past 7 days. He's averaged 11.8 points per game and been in double figures each of the last four games, which is nice. The efficiency hasn't been great. He shot, again, just in the last four games, 40.5% from the field and 25%, 5 of 20 beyond the arc. The other problem with his performance recently is he hasn't really done anything else. He had one game with zero rebounds in 19 minutes. He's averaged 1.8 rebounds over the last four games. He's averaged just 1.5 assists. He only has one steal. He has one block. He's turned it over 5 times in four games, which is acceptable. But he just hasn't done anything really besides shoot the ball. Now, consider the Timberwolves' current rotation and what it looks like. Anthony Edwards, Malik Beasley, and D'Angelo Russell are all in the starting lineup. Who on the bench is going to score consistently? There really isn't anybody outside of Jalen Noel. I mean, look at the rest of the guys on the bench. McDaniels obviously could be in the midst of something of a breakout. Jared Vanderbilt is not a score-first guy. Ricky Rubio is not a score-first guy. Jake Layman relies on others to help him get his offense. Same with Naz Reid for the most part. And also, Naz isn't going to consistently play heavy minutes moving forward once Towns gets back. And so if you're going to end up with Edwards, Beasley, and Russell all in the starting lineup, your only other high-usage guy who could score with any efficiency is Jalen Noel. And I know that he's struggled at the NBA level shooting threes. So far this year, he's total. He's 6 of 22. He was 3 of 26 last year at the NBA level. So in 21 games as a pro, at the NBA level, again, he is shooting 18.8%. So not good. But again, 44% his last year at Washington in college. He was also over 44% last year for the Iowa Wolves. And that was 26 games. He was 44.1%. And it wasn't a tiny sample size. I mean, you're looking at 179 three-pointers. He made 79 of them. So this is a guy who can shoot. It's just a function of getting him the right shots. And if you've watched him at all, when he handles the ball in the pick and roll, it's far more dynamic than when a player like Ricky Rubio handles the ball in the pick and roll. And he's got this scoring mentality where he wants to get to a spot and try and score. I mean, he's comfortable shooting from the elbows. He's comfortable getting into the paint. He hasn't done a ton of that, but clearly he's just got this almost bulldog type mentality. And he's not super big, but he's got enough size to be a consistent scorer at the NBA level. And he could really be a dangerous six-man type scorer for this team, assuming that three-point efficiency comes up. And I think it will. Jalen Noel was a really nice find in the second round of the 2019 draft. And looking at the players taken after him, I mean, it's obviously very early, but you look at the Lakers, Talen Horton-Tucker, and the Clippers, Terrence Mann. Those are really the only names that stand out as guys who have had successful careers to this point who maybe you could say would be better players right now than Jalen Noel or moving forward. But for the 43rd pick in the draft to get the Pac-12 player of the year, somebody who could shoot over 40% on threes and has a scorer's mentality is a really solid move. And Noel should get plenty of opportunity moving forward to really be that six-man type. When Towns comes back and when Culver comes back, when Hernan Gomez comes back, we don't know what the starting lineup will look like. Edwards may not even be in the starting lineup, but if he is, if Edwards is in the lineup to stay, we know Beasley and Russell will be too. Noel's going to be relied upon. He's a much better shooter than Jarrett Culver. He's a much better shooter than Josh Okogie. This Timberwolves team has struggled as much or more offensively as they have defensively, and all the numbers back that up. So Noel is going to be really key to any level of success that the Wolves have the rest of the season. All right, I want to finish up by talking about Wolves-Spurs, a quick preview for tonight's game. First, though, let's talk about our great friends at betonline.ag. I've talked a lot about BetOnline recently. I went 3 for 3 on Monday with my bets, and less good on Tuesday, 1 for 4. But I'm really into the Super Bowl prop bets, getting ready for the big game on Sunday. Our friends over at Lockdown Bets, your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports are doing one Super Bowl prop bet per day leading into the Super Bowl. And that's all available on betonline.ag. In addition to that, of course, there's NBA action, college basketball, NHL action to bet on. And betonline.ag is the only place that has you covered and the only place that we trust. You can sign up today for a free account. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. And don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON at betonline.ag to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. March Madness is only a little over a month away, and the future of the NBA is on display right now. Get a head start on next year's draft analysis by subscribing to Chad Ford's NBA Big Board podcast. Draft guru Chad Ford has his first Big Board of the Year out with profiles of Cade Cunningham, Jalen Suggs, Evan Mobley, and more. Subscribe to Chad Ford's NBA Big Board podcast wherever you get podcasts. All right, Wolves Spurs on Wednesday night. This is, of course, the third instance of Wolves Spurs so far this year. They played that Saturday Sunday back to back in Minnesota just a couple of weeks ago. That was the series when Towns played in the first game in his return from the wrist injury, and the Wolves lost in overtime by three. Anthony Edwards had the ball coming down the court. The Wolves had a timeout in their pocket, didn't use it. They were down three. Edwards looked like he was going to dunk it and then pass into a turnover instead of taking a three or dunking it, which would have obviously been better. And the Wolves ended up losing by three. Towns sat out on Sunday on the second half of a back-to-back, and the Wolves won that game 96-88 with no Towns. D'Angelo Russell leading the way in that game. That was the Spurs actually didn't have DeMar DeRozan in the game that they lost. He was out for personal reasons on that Sunday after playing in the Saturday win. So that obviously mattered. It obviously had an impact on the game. In terms of the Spurs injury report for this game, they're only missing LaMarcus Aldridge, who's out with a hip injury. He's missed a few games now. He's missed, I guess, total this year, three so far. So Aldridge will not play, which definitely helps the Timberwolves. DeMar DeRozan, of course, is back and will play, and the Spurs are otherwise healthy. Aldridge hurt the Timberwolves in the game that they won, that the Wolves won. He had 20-9 with four assists, obviously is a big part of what they do offensively. The Wolves, on the other hand, are going to be without Karl-Anthony Towns again, still in health and safety protocols. Of course, he is on the road trip with the team. So it's fair to assume there's a good chance he plays on either Friday or Saturday. The team hasn't really updated it yet, but he was diagnosed or tested positive the day after Hernan Gomez was announced as being out with health and safety protocols. And Juancho was questionable on Monday. He's questionable again on Wednesday as he's reconditioning. It's classified as post-health and safety protocol reconditioning. So I would think if not Friday, maybe Saturday, Towns could potentially return for the Wolves against the Thunder. That's that Friday, Saturday back-to-back in Oklahoma City. Also out for the Timberwolves, Jarrett Culver, questionable. I mentioned Hernan Gomez. D'Angelo Russell still listed as questionable with the quad issue, and Naz Reid is probable with the wrist sprain, although he played last time out. So no change most likely unless Juancho is able to play in this game for the Wolves. You look at these last two games that the Wolves and Spurs played. San Antonio really struggled from the field in that second game, and the Wolves kind of lucked out. They played hard defensively, but San Antonio just didn't shoot the ball well. They were 27% from beyond the arc. Patty Mills was 3 of 13 from deep. The Wolves weren't actually that much better offensively in that game, but I mean, they got 27 from D'Angelo Russell. He had 5 assists in the game. Malik Beasley had 24, and then Naz had 11 off the bench. This was the first game when Anthony Edwards really had that big swoon following the mistake he made at the end of the Saturday game against the Spurs. He was 0 for 8 shooting, was scoreless in this game, and then I think made one shot over the next two games on the road. And then since then, of course, Anthony Edwards has played great. So hopefully he can play much better against the Spurs this time around than he did last time. The Spurs on the season are 11-10, and since then, they have really, I mean, I guess kind of played the way that you'd expect. They've been roughly 500. They had a couple bad losses to the Grizzlies, a shorthanded Grizzlies team, following the Grizzlies' long layoff for health and safety protocols. They have some nice wins, though. They beat Denver. They beat Boston. They beat Portland, which is, you know, still a nice win. They beat Houston. So the Spurs are still a pretty good team, and DeMar DeRozan's having a really good year so far, and expect the Wolves to try and slow him down with Josh Okogie. That's really their only possible answer there. The bigger problem will be defending the point guard position, whether that's, Patty Mills is the biggest concern. Keldon Johnson on the wing has been very good. Devin Vassell has size on the wing, the rookie. And so it's a tricky matchup for the Wolves in that sense. The last time these teams matched up, the Wolves got fairly lucky in that the Spurs were cold. And while the Wolves played hard, it's not like they were exactly locking down defensively. They just caught the Spurs on a bad shooting night, sans DeMar DeRozan. This is going to be a really difficult game for the Wolves without Towns, which, I mean, you could say that every night, but the Spurs aren't a great matchup for Minnesota. They're another one of those teams that's comfortable playing fast or slow. They're solid on both ends of the floor. And, you know, obviously outstanding coaching. It's the type of team that can just kind of wear the Wolves down. And if the Wolves can hang in the game, I mean, obviously both games in Minnesota against San Antonio were close. So if the Wolves can hang around, that would certainly be a positive, but it's also the kind of game where it feels like the Wolves can hang around and the Spurs can put their, you know, the pedal to the metal down the stretch and really pull away with DeRozan and Patty Mills kind of leading the charge. So tough game for the Wolves. The betonline.ag spread right now is -8.5. The Spurs favored by 8.5, obviously. So we'll see if the Wolves can cover that. I'm dubious, but hopefully Anthony Edwards and the rest of the Wolves young players can pick up where they left off against Cleveland this weekend and give the Wolves a chance to win down in San Antonio. All right, the rest of the week at Lockdown Wolves, of course, we'll have a show post-game this evening / overnight, early Thursday. And then Friday, we'll have a special crossover episode with Ryland Stiles of Lockdown Thunder. The Timberwolves have a back-to-back in Oklahoma City, both games Friday and Saturday. So we'll talk all things Thunder, all things Timberwolves. I can't wait to ask him what his perspective is on a team that's trying to take, allegedly, in the Thunder, playing much better than a team that's not in the Timberwolves. And you know, what happens? Are they going to flip spots as the year wears on? Are the Thunder going to end up below the Timberwolves? Or are they going to mess around and try and make the playoffs? Because Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's a lot of fun, and you never know. So that'll be our conversation on Friday. So be sure to tune in for that. That's all we have for today here at Locked On Wolves. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. You can subscribe to the show anywhere you get podcasts, including iTunes and Spotify. Also, if you could help us out with the review on iTunes, that definitely would be much appreciated. Also, you can follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. All right, we'll be back Thursday with a look back at Wednesday night's game against the Spurs. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.